Secular Yakking, Episode 72, October 25th, 2016. Suffer My Wrath.
Reason, observation, and experience, the holy trinity of science, have taught us that happiness is the only good, that the time to be happy is now, and the way to be happy is to make others so. This is enough for us. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Exploring the intersection of politics, science, culture, and history from a secular perspective. It's Secular Yakking with Robert and Tom, the dynamic duo of obscure secular media.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week. I know I did.
And it was all right.
Yeah, okay. So, with me again is, of course, Tom.
Hello.
And Carrie.
Hi.
We're so enthusiastic
you are.
Tonight.
I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to be all nice and hyper and out there energetic, and you guys are...
You have to be peppy for the two of us.
All right. You guys are like droopy dogs.
We are.
I'm so happy. Anyway, we have some Twitter followers.
Oh.
We do. We have Skeptic Spiker.
Nice.
Bruce Van Horn and Ali Spagnola. I hope I said that right. Looks right.
I think it's sure. Spagnola, I think.
Spagnola? Well.
I think so.
I'm an American. I don't do Spanish. At least not well.
It's Italian. It's Italian.
See, that's obviously.
Okay. That's okay, though. It's fine.
See, obviously, I don't do foreign language, period.
Anything that's not in obvious English, I will read.
That's a good idea. Unless it's Latin, then I'll take that.
All right. Which we'll be getting into tonight, I believe.
A little bit, maybe.
Ooh.
We got an iTunes review.
Oh, did we?
We did. Now, see, that's exciting. Why couldn't you just say hi that way?
Because I probably would have peeked out. I don't know.
Oh, so she's worried about peeking out on the audio. See, my little audio engineer in the making.
Aw.
All right, so who wants to read this iTunes review? Because that's not an English word.
Oh, you want me to read it? I don't know how to pronounce that one.
Me neither.
Zemonliex?
Okay.
X-E-M-O-N. E-I-L-X.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's one of them internet words. So we got a 5-star review from them. That was pretty awesome. And they say we are a great podcast covering secularism, history, books, and current events in the natural world. Listen to be informed, get good recommendations, and for a few, good laughs, good times.
Good time.
Well, thank you. And
nice.
Thank you. Should we give ourselves our standard golf clap round of applause?
There we go. Well, that was great. So, and as you know, podcasts live on iTunes reviews. I mean, otherwise we starve, obviously, because it's the only payment we get.
Yeah.
So if you should also go to iTunes and give us a review.
Well, give us a review.
my biblical came out.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say right now that, and this is kind of like a tangent, but my cat is being a real pain tonight.
As
He's
always.
He's trying to eat the microphone. He's currently trying to eat a book of mine. So he's going to interrupt several times. I can just feel it.
Okay, well, we'll deal with it. It's not an internet without the cats.
Exactly. He was trying to eat up all of the, because I had that backpack of original motto project swag from Free Thought Day.
Right.
Nice.
And he was in it trying to eat like the bumper stickers and stuff.
Oh.
I mean, they're good stickers and all, but I don't think they're that tasty.
They were to him.
Yeah, maybe. All right, so stories? Anything good from anybody?
Just the cat thing for
me. Okay, just cat. Carrie, anything good?
Other than the... I asked a whole bunch of my friends about the PSA tees.
Oh, that reminds me. I forgot to put it in the show notes, but we did get a comment from one of our listeners.
Yep.
And they said... They said the reason for the religion on PSAT, remember last week we talked about that?
Yep.
They said it was for scholarships based on religious organizations.
Yeah. All my friends just said either they don't care or don't know or like they didn't really look too much into it as or get as angry as I did over it.
Right.
But... I mean, my friends believe practically the same way I do. That's why I'm friends with them, mostly. Other than they're pretty good friends. But, Yeah, they didn't really care too much for it.
Huh.
So.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, I can't remember the person's name, and I can't find it right now. But,
oh, no.
I'll put that in the show notes or something as soon as I find it.
Yeah.
And thank you for enlightening us, because we all forgot to look it up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I didn't forget. It's just once I got that, I'm like, I don't have to look it up anymore. Thank you.
Yeah, and I asked.
Thanks. So. Thanks for doing our jobs for us, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Anybody want to write in for React from the Past? Yak to the Past. I always screw the name up.
That's fine. Yak from the Past. Yak to the Past.
I think that's something I should.
Well, you know, it depends on what Doc Brown says.
I think it's two. Mm. Isn't it two?
It's two, yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out when we play the, we'll find out when we play the thing later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I have a thing.
Oh.
Kind right. of an angry issue for me.
Oh.
All right.
So
brace
case,
yourself. Brace yourself, folks.
Anger's coming up. So, just in case you don't know, Tom and I both work for the Original Modder Project, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I've never mentioned that on the show, right?
Uh-huh, 100%.
So, the Chesapeake, Virginia City Council voted on an In God We Trust plaque today, right?
Oh.
And while I was prepping for the show today, I was watching the video for the meeting because I really like punishment.
Yeah, you're a masochist.
Obviously. So, and I got really angry when I was listening to the person who introduced the resolution. And then I got even angrier when one of the other people were talking about the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So the person who introduced the resolution said that the reasoning behind it was a lot of religious talk, right? She was using a lot of religious talk to justify it. Mm-hmm. Like, here's one that really pissed me off. It's been our fundamental value in our country since our founding fathers.
What?
Yeah. That really, really makes me angry.
What?
Well, I mean, I won't dive into that one because then we'll have two Yak to the Past segments, and
yeah,
it just gets. I'll just leave that.
Well,
one
and she was referenced directly to In God We Trust, not just Christianity, but In God We Trust, which really bothers me because it wasn't there at the time.
And they tried to put a religious motto in originally.
Right.
Ben Franklin's was opposition. Was it Ben Franklin or was it Thomas Jefferson? Anyway.
It was Franklin that wanted that.
Franklin. Opposition to tyrants is obedience to God.
Right. And that was...
And it got shut down pretty quickly by Congress.
Well, she goes on to say the Declaration of Independence, quote, speaks about God. Not exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a debatable subject, I think.
Yeah.
It's not that debatable.
Yeah.
It's not that debatable. It doesn't really, like...
Well, it doesn't. It just says creator. It doesn't say God. It doesn't say which God, right?
And it's also... Right. And it's also not a commentary on God. It's a commentary on inalienable rights.
Right.
It's not a comment... Like, we've covered this before, I'm sure. But okay. It's not a commentary on God. It's a commentary on rights that can't be taken away. They're natural rights. It's a commentary on natural rights, not on God.
Correct.
Yeah.
It just uses the word creator because it was the 8th century. Now I'm getting mad, Robert.
Okay. And then she goes on, and you talk about inalienable rights. Well, not only did she say it wrong, but she actually had to go look up what that meant.
Tell me she didn't do that the same
I think
time.
It says I think it says unalienable.
I thought it said inalienable.
I don't know. I should know this.
We should know this.
I should know this.
And, well, what's weird is later on she says inalienable, so she gets it wrong at least once. Either way, but she said that... God is the source of our rights. So, and then she does a lot more religious talk and phrasing and goes on for a bit about that. And then she mentions that a local is willing to donate In God We Trust signs for every classroom in the school district.
Ooh.
So you can tell, I'm fuming at this moment, right? I'm like, I just want to, I can't even explain how mad I am at this moment because putting it in a classroom is far worse than putting it in city council.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into that probably some other time. Actually, I'm going to get into this tomorrow when I do the write-up on the council meeting.
Mm.
Well, the next person to talk about it talked about legality, and it wasn't just the lawyer. The lawyer explained the court cases pretty well. And, you know, that's lawyer talk. That's fine. But the next council member talked about how it's legal due to being ceremonial deism and had lost all religious meaning through rote repetition. And this is what really bothers me about these meetings.
Right.
Because you always get this contradictory situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have one that is talking about how religious it is and how great it is that it's a religious phrase, and the very next person that comes up talking, it's not a religious phrase.
Mm-hmm.
You still with us, Tom?
I'm sorry. I looked up the Declaration of Independence because I have to know if it says inalienable or unalienable. It's unalienable, but I also want to point out in the Declaration of Independence that before it says we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and they are endowed by the Creator, et cetera, et cetera, it actually says first, in the very beginning, it says when in the course of human events it becomes necessary, everybody knows that part,
right?
To dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God, so it mentions God after the laws of nature, entitle them.
Right.
Like, it's not a commentary on God, it's a commentary on unalienable rights and natural rights. Continue, I'm sorry.
Okay. So, yeah. so that was basically what really made me angry today, right before the show.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sitting there, and I'm like, how can you people have such contradictory statements and still pass this thing 7-0?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Because it doesn't matter, because it makes them feel good. Mm-hmm. Like, so it doesn't, like, and then so the ceremonial deism makes it so it doesn't matter what their reasoning is.
Right. And it just, it frustrates me so much. And one of my latest arguments against this has been, you know, this is ceremonial deism. Do you really want your religion to be regulated to just ceremonial deism?
Yes.
That's kind of what they're doing. When they use both arguments together.
I don't think that's what they think they're doing.
No, that's though. Right. They don't think they're doing that. They think they're getting away with something by using the ceremony of deism, but they're still getting the religious phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I'm trying to turn it around on them to say, no, you're using a ceremonial deistic phrase to define your religion.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way it can stay legal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Have you got any traction with that?
No, not yet. I don't think they understand it yet. And I've only tried it a few times, so we'll have to work a little more on the exact wording and make it more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah. But yeah. That's frustrating, especially the bit with the kids in this the classroom.
Yeah, which means I'm gonna have to watch Chesapeake, Virginia school board now.
But we have someone there. We're not gonna say her name, but
yes,
we have
do.
Someone there now.
Yeah, and I'll let her know what happened. So
yeah.
I'm Dustin.
And I'm Wesley.
We host the Atheist Nomads podcast.
We're godless geeks who take a skeptical look at
politics, religion, science, technology, and history.
We also interview leaders in the atheist, skeptic, and humanist community.
Check us out at atheistnomads.com.
That's atheistnomads.com.
Anyways.
Well, I was going to say I have another infuriating story irritated me so. So, one of my friends who isn't the brightest of the class, but still.
You love them anyway.
Yeah. we were reading about a sermon to get Puritan views on stuff.
Yeah, Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah. It obviously talks about God and how the wrath of God. We were reading, it was something on the land, the hands of,
Providence.
Yeah. And, it also was titled something like Hands of an Angry God or something.
Yeah.
They're always very long names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so after that, my friend turned to me and she goes, well, if God doesn't exist, then why do we read about him in history? I was so angry.
Did you hit her with your chair?
Dude, I punched her in the shoulder. Like, I was
that
up. Yeah.
No, maybe don't admit that.
I just did a David. Well, I just did a David Smalley sigh because that was so horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, like, violently hit her. I just, like, tapped her shoulder.
Have you guys ever talked about? Have you guys ever talked about the Vikings in history class?
No.
You should just turn to her and be
like, in English,
if Thor doesn't, if Thor doesn't exist.
Yeah, right?
It was in an English class?
Yeah,
it was
for literature.
And
oh, well, like, did you pull out Charlotte's Web and be like, if talking spiders don't exist,
right,
why don't we learn about them?
Well, I mean, one thing that I love about my history is that my history teacher is I'm not quite sure if he's an atheist or humanistic, but he's like one of those.
Yeah, the good thing is you're not quite sure, which is how it should be.
Yeah, right. But, yeah. But I was so angry that my friend said this
to
me.
Yeah, wow.
I was like, no.
Wow.
Like, And you're like, you're really missing the point of this lesson right now.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, because it said, well, you know, if you don't...
Your paper is going to be awful.
Yeah. Like, it talked about how if basically the what I got from it is if you don't, like, do what the Bible says or God says or whatever that... God will drop you down into hell. Like, you're only held up by his hand before you, like, drop it. And you don't know it, but he watches. And I'm just like, well, ain't that just creepy?
Well, that's a very puritanical view.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely,
yeah.
17th century.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I mean, it makes sense for that time, but yeah.
Anyway, talking about burning atheists...
Where were we at? Where were we at?
I was getting ready to go into the next news story.
I gotta scroll my notes. I haven't even scrolled my notes or done anything. Oh, burning atheist. Good. That was a great segue, and
thank
I ruined
you.
It.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
That's fine.
They say thank you to my friend.
Yeah. The Palmdale Cracker House in Glades County, Florida, a historic restaurant and store, caught on fire and burned to the ground Friday, October 21st.
Oh.
The Clewiston Fire Department called it a total loss, except for one item that was found without much water or fire damage. A holy Bible was found buried in the rubble.
Huh.
Normally, we wouldn't talk about this because things come out of structure fires unharmed all the time.
Right.
It was what the fire department said on Facebook that caught our attention.
Oh, no.
So here it is. You won't find atheists in the fire service. This Bible was found inside a structure fire. The building was a total loss. No water or fire damage on any page. Just remember, it's not always your brother or sister firefighter that has your back.
Oh, no.
Ugh.
Oh,
okay,
no.
First of all, I'm just going to throw this out here. Have you ever tried burning a Bible?
No.
No, I actually haven't, but I'm pretty sure they burn.
Not yet.
Not well. You'd be surprised how, like, a Bible doesn't burn that well.
Well, I've heard individual pages burn rather well when they're rolled.
The individual pages, I've heard.
I just heard that. I don't know for sure.
I mean, we got a fire...
The individual pages actually burn really well.
Yeah.
But if you just put a Bible in a fire, it doesn't burn all that well because the oxygen doesn't get in between the leaves. It's kind of like if you're trying burning a phone book.
Yeah, it's the same concept. It's a thick book.
It's a thick book, and it really doesn't burn because oxygen doesn't get in between the individual, you know, pages, and so the fire doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really that surprising that the Bible didn't burn, like a thick book. Like, books don't really burn that well.
Right.
And he's a firefighter?
Well, yeah, it was the Facebook page for the fire department.
Well, yeah, but, like, I would think that.
You would think they would know that.
Yeah.
But the difference is... they would know that.
Well, it's selective memory.
Yeah.
He's probably pulled 1,000 unburned books out of a fire before, but none of them were ever the Bible.
Right.
Right.
And so this one time it happens, it's like, aha, Jesus.
Light shines down.
If only Jesus hadn't lit the cracker barrel on fire.
Right.
Yeah, they don't talk about that ever.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Cracker House.
Cracker House,
not the cracker barrel.
I don't even know why it's called Cracker House. I didn't get into that. I wasn't worried about it. That's a weird name, but whatever.
There's a joke to be made there. But
oh, most definitely.
Yep.
I mean, we're in Florida, so yeah.
But yeah, that's just such a stupid thing to say.
So here's the thing and why it's wrong. It's the same thing as no atheists in foxholes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We know there are atheists in the fire service. We have one sitting at a microphone right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I spent a lot of my youth as a fireman.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Most people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I spent a good 5 years between the time I was 16 and 2021, working for volunteer fire department.
Hmm.
Yep.
Well, go figure.
Yeah.
I have a friend back in Missouri who is in fire service, and he is, I don't know that he's atheist, but he's definitely not religious.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the time I wasn't out as an atheist. In fact, I really didn't know what an atheist was, but I was definitely not religious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't believe in a God, so I was definitely an atheist, but I just wasn't.
This is very similar to, like, the "In God We Trust" on police cars kind of thing.
Right.
Like,
yeah, it's almost exactly the same thing.
Yeah, Jesus has got your back, not your bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really what made me angry about this. I guess I'm just going to be angry tonight.
You are just going to be. You're an angry person.
I am.
Yep.
But, like, just so everyone knows, I've heard that if you try to burn a Bible, it doesn't work well.
Right.
We may have to try it one day. I don't know. We'll see.
Yep.
I might have video.
You might have video.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to have to go find this now.
All right.
Before I get any angrier, I think we should move on to something I actually enjoy.
Has God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster In God We Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an In God We Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to talk about the Great Stamp Out. And so the Great Stamp Out, like Robert mentioned, we work on the Original Motto Project. And we decided today to do something proactive and fun for people to get involved with. And so the Great Stamp Out is we're encouraging people to send us pictures or video of you stamping out, crossing out, or otherwise removing In God We Trust from U.S. paper currency.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you real quick because I actually just had a funny thought, and I'm going to get my little button
he was
ready.
Laughing his face
so,
off.
So we just had a story about fire, and we're going to stamp it out.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
No.
I don't know what's worse, the jokes or, like, the soundboard.
Or how long it took me to get that for a minute. It was like, what? Yeah. And I was like, oh, no.
So you have unangered me by the placement of fire and stamping it out. Thank you.
Yes, all right. You're welcome. I'm here for you.
All right. Sorry. Continue.
So that's what we're doing. You can, if you want to participate, send us a picture or video. You can send it to the Original Motto Project's Facebook page. Just send it as a message or leave it in the comments. It's a pinned post right now, so you can't miss it. And or you can email it to us at stampitout@originalmotto.us.
Yeah. And if you can't do either one of those, you can send it to the podcast page. We'll get it from there.
Yeah, send it to the podcast page or send it to me or Robert. We'll get it. And what the plan is to put this together in some sort of montage fashion and, just kind of a protest movement.
Yeah.
And I think every time we come across a politician who is pushing In God We Trust, like crazy, I'm going to send it to them.
That's a good idea.
Just because I just feel that way. And so, I want to talk a little bit about why I think this is important. Carrie and Robert can jump in.
Yep.
But first of all, I think it's important because it gives people a sense of doing something, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And a sense of community, and we're making an effort to do this. And plus, if we get enough response, it will make media.
Yeah.
It will make the media.
Well, remember earlier this year when Ben Carson did his In God We Trust selfie?
Yes.
And we did the E Pluribus Unum selfie? That went over rather well.
It did. Yeah. Tracy Moody from Friendly Atheist really kicked that one off for us. But I think, and I have a quote here from Dan Errol's book, The Secular Activist, that I think kind of applies here because this seems like kind of, social media slacktivism. Where, we're just making a video. Who cares? But he makes a really good point about Facebook activism type stuff, which is even if you don't enter into debates, just sharing an article about keeping classrooms secular or supporting marriage equality shows others where you stand, which in turn may help them uncover where they stand on the issue or force them to evaluate their own views. Never forget you have the power to change minds and don't be afraid to try. And I think that really applies to kind of what we're doing here, where people will see this video. What's the reach at? It was around 22,000 last time I looked at it.
Yeah, and that was... Yeah, it's probably up at 23,000 by now.
Yeah, so yeah, this is a way to get our opinions out there, and in because the goal of the original model project is, of course, to get rid of In God We Trust. You know, if in a perfect world, we accomplish what we want.
Yeah.
We get rid of it at a national level and replace it with E Pluribus Unum, which means from many one, for those who skipped Latin class. And this is a way to really gain traction. The way to do that is to get media attention, and protests like this are a great way to get media attention.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, but I also think it's important because I think it gives people a sense of doing something. You know, a lot of times with the original model project, it seems like it's going nowhere because it's not glamorous and sexy. So we do stuff, I promise. And sometimes we win.
Sometimes we do.
Yep.
So I encourage everybody listening to participate in the great stamp out. Take either a picture of you stamping the money or the money you've already stamped. Like I said, it doesn't have to actually be a stamp. Just cross it out, whatever. Send it to us somehow, either to the original model Facebook page, to me, Robert, to Secular Yakking, and participate in that. But I'm hoping to get, I would love to get a couple thousand people to do this.
Yeah. Of course, that might take me a very long time to edit a video with a couple thousand people, but we'll deal with it.
We'll make two videos.
Two whole videos. Okay. 6 hours long.
Good luck with that.
All right. I believe it's that time.
Great Scott! Marty! We have to go yak to the past!
Oh, God.
So good.
I laugh every time I hear it. Okay. So, we're doing a new thing where we read a quote from Robert Greene Ingersoll before the show starts.
Mm-hmm.
Or Carrie reads it.
Yep.
So I think I thought I'd talk briefly about an important event in American history that he was involved in, which was the blasphemy trial of Charles B. Reynolds, which actually occurred last week, but in the 1800s. Reynolds was a former Seventh-day Adventist turned free-thought preacher. In the early 1800s, Reynolds began holding tent revival-style lectures where he advocated for secularism and free thought. So he kind of took tent revivalists and revivalism and turned it on its head, which is clever.
Yeah.
Reynolds believed free thought and secularism offer, quote, salvation from error, bigotry, fanaticism, and ignorance, ensuring a more useful, better, nobler, and consequently happier life.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
In July of 1886, Reynolds was arrested for blasphemy in Morristown, New Jersey, after an angry mob of protesters destroyed his tent and forced him to flee for his life. He was arrested, but he was never actually charged in court. Reynolds returned to Morristown, sans tent, on October 13th, 1886, and was again arrested for blasphemy. This time, the charge went to trial. And so enter Robert Ingersoll. Ingersoll in the 1880s made his living as a lawyer and an orator on controversial topics such as women's rights and religion. He was an extremely popular speaker and had admirers in people like Samuel Clemens, a.k.a. Mark Twain, Ulysses S. Grant, Andrew Carnegie, and Walt Whitman, just to name a few. The Ingersoll biography at secularhumanism.org claims, quote, no human being had been seen and heard by more Americans or would be until the advent of motion pictures, radio, and television. I didn't bother to look that up, but it sounds plausible.
Yeah, I'm going to interject there. I think that's pretty accurate because he traveled a lot giving speeches, and people would come by the hundreds to see him. So
yeah, and he was active for a very long time between the mid-1860s and mid-1890s. So he was active for 30 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Reynolds ended up acquiring Ingersoll as his lawyer for the blasphemy trial in New Jersey. Because Ingersoll was a famous public figure, his involvement in the trial made it a national media sensation, so everybody was really paying attention to this. Ingersoll never called a single defense witness in the whole trial. Instead, he simply lectured the jury in an hours-long summation. Like I said, Ingersoll was a skillful orator, and his summary included the wonderfully quotable line, quote, "Blasphemy is what an old mistake says of a new discovered truth."
Yeah, and it's interesting they wouldn't call witnesses. I mean, who are you going to witness the blasphemy? Who are you blaspheming? Yeah. Can you call God?
Well, or the people that were offended, so it's probably not the best witnesses anyway.
Yeah.
So I've discussed blasphemy law and the separation of church and state on here before, I don't know, what, 2 months ago. Ingersoll and Reynolds, they pop up at an interesting time in American history where the shift from freedom of religion being a communal right to an individual right was kind of still underway. And you can see the kind of communal nature of freedom of religion and how Reynolds was arrested after for the mob destroying his property.
Right.
So engaging in blasphemy was an offense against public order, somewhat equivalent to inciting a riot. The people like Ingersoll and Reynolds were engaging in a potentially dangerous act to both their health and careers when expressing their views as agnostics, I hate that word, free thinkers and secularists. However, they also paved the way for the demise of blasphemy laws and the triumph of free speech in America. So the next time you express your views as a secularist without fear of government reprisal, think of activists like Reynolds and lawyers like Ingersoll who are willing to take on the system and lose, by the way.
Yeah.
Ingersoll lost, and Reynolds was fined $50, which Ingersoll paid out of his own pocket.
Correct.
Hmm.
So the interesting thing here is this was the last blasphemy law tried in the United States.
Huh. No, it was not.
It was not. There was another one?
There were several more.
I was under the impression this was the last one.
No, there were several more in the early 1900s, including up to the 1920s, I think, was the last one. There was a communist whose name escapes my memory right now, but he was tried for blasphemy. I don't remember the outcome of that, but there were several more. But the Ingersoll so eviscerated these blasphemy laws and the charge of blasphemy in his hours-long summation where he lectured the jury, which they really didn't appreciate. but because it was such a media sensation, these blasphemy laws kind of became a mockery. And so it wasn't until decades later that they actually tried to try a blasphemy case again.
Oh, well, there you go. I learned something today.
We both did.
Drop some knowledge on y'all.
Yep.
Very cool. I love Ingersoll. Obviously one of the greatest orators of the late 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was looking around for a biography on him, because I don't know much about him. This little bit is all the research I've ever done. I actually didn't even know about him until Robert brought him up last week. I'm going to look more into him, because he seems like an interesting character. He's almost like the Christopher Hitchens of the 1800s.
Yeah, that's kind of how he was. He didn't hold back, and he could speak for hours.
Yeah.
Literally.
If there's one thing Hitch could definitely do, it was speak for hours.
Right, so. Yeah. I mean,
so
it was... Anyway, that's really cool.
Yep.
And I think that's all we have this week.
I think so.
I think so.
Yep.
All right.
So, should we recap?
Yeah, let's do a recap. Why not?
So, boom, recap, going up the top. We're got 5 stars, and because we're awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chesapeake, Virginia, loves in God we trust.
And made me angry.
And made Robert angry. The fire department says there's no atheists in fires.
And made me angry.
And made Robert angry again.
Yep.
But then I talked about lighting Bibles on fire, and it made Robert happy.
Well, happier. Yeah.
Happier. And then, of course, the great Ingersoll and Mr. Reynolds, who doesn't get enough credit, I think.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we're going to fade into the distance now.
Yeah. Contact info? We'll start with Carrie.
Oh, yay, me. So, you can email me at carrie@secularyacking.com, and I couldn't log into my Twitter, so I had to make a new account. So it's... So it's at KR Nightmares 99. Yep.
All right, you heard it here. KR Nightmares 99. Okay.
Yep.
Of course, you can get a hold of me, Tom at secularyaking.com. I'm on Twitter at TC Essel. You can find me on Facebook. I think that's it.
All right. You can always get a hold of me at... what was it? See, now you screwed me up. Robert at secularyaking.com. And I actually changed my Twitter handle.
Oh.
No, my Twitter handle. No, my Twitter handle is still the same. It's the motto guy, right?
Uh-huh.
I changed my Facebook handle.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because it said something like Robert Ray Clan. It was like a decade old thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I changed it to Robert the Motto Guy.
Huh.
Because they require you have to put your name in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, that's some sort of weird requirement they have, I think.
Huh.
Facebook.
Facebook, yeah.
Yep.
So you can find me on Facebook at Robert the Motto Guy.
Yep. All right. And with that, goodbye, people of the internet.